Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Boy, I tell you, we are so pleased to have in our studio today a very special guest from our military, Master Sergeant Victor Rodriguez. He's a senior military advisor instructor of the ROTC battalion here at Seton Hall. Master Sergeant Rodriguez, welcome to the program.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, Darrell. I look forward to our adventure.
Well, you know, over the last 2 months, I've been working to get in shape. And part of my motivation is that I would see you out there in the morning with the ROTC candidates or ROTC cadets.
Yes, sir.
And I was I'm always impressed with really how disciplined they are. And so really, it's a pleasure to get to know you on the program.
Well, they definitely keep us young, that's for sure.
Can you share with our audience the highlights of your education and experience? And really, after that, what led you to become a ROTC instructor?
Well, I mean, my trip to academia was definitely not the traditional trip. I have a bachelor's degree in management, and then I just recently graduated from Liberty School of Business with my master's degree in management and leadership. So I was selected by the Department of Army pretty much just to serve at their discretion here at Seton Hall and be part of their Department of Military Science.
Wow. And so what did you study in business? I'm just curious because I teach here at Seton Hall myself.
Oh, for the most part, management techniques, leadership. I have a minor in real estate and appraisals.
Okay.
Not the typical thing that a soldier is taught, but they're familiar. They're definitely familiar topics.
Right, right. And what led you to Seton Hall?
Well, like I said, I'm local from the area. I'm actually from Norwalk, Connecticut, and I guess the Department of Army was looking for an instructor here, and they selected me out of my peer group first. Well, mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous sometimes.
It's okay.
out of a group of my contemporaries.
Okay.
Yeah, Master Sergeant.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, I tell you, when I see you in front of your cadets, there's no nervous at all. You are in charge.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just comes with, you know, command presence and being in front of soldiers on a daily basis.
So are you considered full-time military?
I am an active duty soldier. I've been in the United States Army for over 24 years now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Did you do any time during the Iraq War?
I've been to pretty much everywhere the Army can send somebody. Really.
Oh, wow.
I've been to
God
Afghanistan,
bless.
Iraq. I was in the original Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Korea, Japan. I've been to the Balkans. I've been to Sinai, Egypt. So,
wow.
Pretty much everywhere that we've landed our flag, I've been there to represent it.
That's awesome. And God bless that you're safe and sound.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes. And tell us about the ROTC program here at Seton Hall and why you feel it's so important to leadership.
I think it's critical to leadership because it's pretty much a microcosm of what represents our country today. Pretty much every kind of background, every kind of social economic group is represented, every ethnicity, every race, every, you know, subject or background. And, you know, we're all about improving each other collectively and representing our country, you know. And eventually, you know, their ultimate goal is obviously the ultimate goal is to be a lieutenant in the United States Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the students, do they start when they're a freshman or can they start when they're a junior? How does that work?
Well, I mean, there's different ways to peel the onion back, per se.
Mm-hmm.
They can come in traditionally as freshmen and work their way through seniors and, you know, be commissioned as seniors. Or there's different ways they can come in as juniors. We'll send them to camp for 2 weeks, and then that'll compress those first 2 years. Or they can be graduate students. We'll compress them, and we have a couple graduate students in our program as we speak. So
now, I noticed it seems like there's close to 100 folks in the gym in the morning.
Our program has close to 120 cadets,
okay,
and they represent 25 schools throughout the greater northeast New Jersey area. So schools like Fairleigh Dickinson, mm-hmm. Kane, Montclair, mm-hmm. they're all represented here.
And what are some of the fundamental things that they learn about leadership during this training?
We have pretty much a three-prong attack to teaching leadership. First, mm-hmm. it's obviously you see it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, physical fitness. We're there Monday through Friday. And then we have a lecture. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty much on alternating Fridays, we have a lecture and we have a lab.
Okay.
And the lecture is just management principles, you know, theory. We also teach some Army-specific topics, plan navigation, training techniques, tactics, and procedures. And then we the laboratory is pretty much a practical, hands-on approach to leadership in the field in a tactical environment.
Now, I notice, I see them around South Orange as well, running in the morning.
Yes.
With just their shorts and their gray shirts and their yellow belts, which I guess are reflectors. It's cold out there. Is that just part of the training regimen to toughen their physical ability?
Well, there's a General Sinseki. He's now the I think he's the Veteran Affairs Secretary of Veteran Affairs, and he told us that we are not a fair weather army. So that is part of their training, but there's not a whole lot that you can teach a soldier. I mean, you know, obviously if you run long enough, your body's going to, you know, regulate itself. So
right.
It's just the initial shock, and then after that, they'll be fine.
And how long do they run? Because I see them – I live over by Highland Road by the park, and that's a nice distance from Seton Hall. So I assume that they start here.
Yeah, they typically start here, and they get assessed on a two-mile time. So, but our run routes do vary. Before, at a minimum, we try to run for 20 minutes. Just get their, you know, their metabolism up and running, burning calories, and get their lungs up and producing. So,
and so in the labs, what type of instruction do you focus on?
Well, like I said, it's practical, tactical leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So out in the field, we'll take a bunch of them. We'll give them a mission or objective, and they'll have to do that using infantry tactics. But every now and then, we'll throw a variable in there. We'll have a civilian that just kind of wanders into the situation, or we'll have media on the battlefield. And once in, we'll take them down to Fort Dix, the military training facility there, and we'll throw them what they call a leadership reaction course. And pretty much it's just an obstacle and giving a specified criteria. They'll have to overcome this obstacle with their peers. And sometimes, you know, they'll get comfortable within that peer group. So we'll throw a different set of peers in there. You know, cadets from Rutgers or Princeton University will come.
Okay.
And, you know, not be so cooperative sometimes.
Right.
So it'll definitely test a different set of skill sets.
And when you say media on a battlefield, What
does
that mean?
We're talking about reporters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actual media.
Yeah, actual media. Oh,
okay.
Mock media, you know. We'll have cadets dressed up with, you know, with press, you know, IDs and everything. And they'll just, you know, ask questions. And these soldiers will have to, you know, be able to address the media.
So they have to be media savvy.
They do.
Bullets
I mean, we're
coming
asking,
by.
We're asking a lot of our young lieutenants nowadays.
Right.
So, you know.
And what is the completion rate out of, let's say, 100 cadets? Do they all finish the program and go on to the military?
I'm glad you asked that. Pretty much, we'll start off with 100 right now, but every year we'll pretty much materialize 14 officers that will assess either in the regular Army, the reserve, or the National Guard.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's pretty interesting. It's definitely not easy. I mean, we'll see contemporaries fall out left and right for, you know, just typical reasons that, you know, we try to give them workarounds. We try to give them solutions. We, you know, we'll postpone their progress because we want everybody to succeed.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So, but 14 is what we look at every year.
Oh, just 14.
Yeah. I mean, last year we did 18.
Yeah. Okay.
So it fluctuates, but the mean average has been 14.
Okay. And can you tell us about some of your success stories, folks who have come through the program and who have moved on to greater things?
Well, I mean, one of our most notable alumni is a lady named Dr. Ho Loot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know her, but she was a distinguished alumni. She graduated from Montclair, did the ROTC program here, and now she's like the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security.
Really?
Yeah. She worked at the UN for some time.
Okay.
And another notable alumni is Mr. Ring.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously on the Board of Regents.
Mm-hmm.
He was an alumni here at Seton Hall, went to Vietnam, was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross, and they were talking about actually upgrading that to the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Now, when I was here, they had the Persian Rifles. Is that an affiliation organization? Or?
It's actually almost like a fraternity.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A fraternal organization within ROTC.
Oh, okay.
And the interest, obviously, with our administration rate being kind of low, the interest is kind of low. But it's still there. It's in reserve mode.
Okay.
And we actually have a couple of cadets that are trying to revive that program right now.
Very
but,
nice.
But, yeah, They're very prestigious. They're very it's actually a nationally recognized program. Mm-hmm. And they definitely all about community and about, you know, they do a lot of ceremonial activities.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And I take it that of your cadets, they're in leadership positions here on the campus as well.
Right. I mean, we have a couple that are obviously academic leaders within their peer groups. And then mm-hmm. we have some that actually are on the student advisory board.
Right.
Or student.
Student advisory board.
Yeah,
right.
Student advisory mm-hmm. board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their little Congress or Senate.
Right.
We have a
exactly.
couple senators that are
right.
actually on that. And then right. leaders in society as well within the community. We have guys that are volunteer firefighters mm-hmm. and we have a couple laid off police officers that are actually, you know, mm-hmm. moving beyond circumstances and doing better for themselves. So it's really a remarkable segue into great things.
And how does one come into the program? Are they recruited or is it something that they just naturally say, oh, I want to be an ROTC? Is there a financial benefit? Tell us about the program.
We get all sorts of interest. Some people are just want to serve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, serving is obviously an honor, but it's considered to be a calling, too. Ever since I can remember, I wanted to serve in the military. We have other people that are academically inclined and, you know, they look for the scholarship opportunity.
Right.
And that's how they come in. And then we conduct a national board and we actually recruit people.
Mm-hmm.
The Army right now is really interested in STEMs, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math majors. So that's we're doing mm-hmm. a big push for that right
okay.
now. So there's different ways to get here. Mm-hmm. But the end result is ultimately the same, a lieutenant United States officer. And the Army, that's the ROTC mission is.
Right. Right.
Commission and train lieutenants United States Army. Here at Seton Hall, we like to take that a little bit farther.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make adaptable, agile, physically and mentally agile
very
lieutenants.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, the Army has come a long way. I mean, it's very decentralized now. When I went to war initially in the Persian Gulf, it was me and 4,000 other soldiers and tanks and airplanes and helicopters. And the fight is really decentralized right now. So right now that 4,000 soldiers have gone away, and it's really just one and 23 other soldiers or, you know, platoon-sized
right,
elements.
Right.
So that young lieutenant has to do a whole lot more with a whole lot less. So,
right.
So
right.
We're trying to prepare them for that.
Well, you know, just before I came over, it was on CBS News that Leon Panetta, Secretary of Defense,
yes.
was talking about the new military.
Yes.
And that they were going to decrease the Army by 10 or 20,000 troops.
Right.
You know, but they're going to increase, of course, the Navy SEALs. I guess that's considering their success. I guess they get more people. But I guess with drones and everything else, it's a new type of war now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're definitely trying to make a leaner, more agile force.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Navy SEALs don't grow overnight. So, this whole process is going to take a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, as the Department of Defense shrinks, its need for second lieutenants is probably going to shrink, too. So that's ultimately going to affect our, you know, what the ROTC program here at Seton Hall is going to look at. But that has an upside to it, too. Instead of looking for quantity, we're now looking for quality.
Right.
So we're looking for, you know, those agile leaders again that are mm-hmm. smart, that can think on the move, that take initiative, mm-hmm. that can, you know, contemplate different scenarios and actually act on it without orders. You know, it's all about being, what's the word I'm looking for? It's all about taking initiative, not
mm-hmm.
proactive instead of reactive.
Right.
So
right.
those are the kind of guys we're going to try to target.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I was here, I attended Seton Hall a long time ago. I graduated in 81.
Okay.
The ROTC was here, but it wasn't as big. And it seemed like it's really grown. Based upon your numbers, have you seen it grown over the last few years? And why do you think, if that's the case, why has it grown so?
I think there's a couple things that contributed to our program growing. I think a lot of it had to do with the war on terror,
mm-hmm.
The need for, bringing the Army up and growing those numbers. And in mm-hmm. doing that, we had to grow the amount of lieutenants we needed.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the economy.
Mm-hmm.
People are trying to, you know, with the absence of jobs, people are trying to figure out different ways to start a career, facilitate a career, you know, pad those resumes
mm-hmm.
and find a way to, you know, pay mm-hmm. for those tuition bills.
Right. That's right.
So
that's right.
I think that's what we're looking at right now. And I think we've kind of gone full circle again.
Mm-hmm.
And those numbers are going to start to shrink. But, you know, we're adaptive. So
absolutely.
Happens, so.
Absolutely. And what are some of the key characteristics or attributes that you look for in young candidates to be part of the ROTC program?
Now, ROTC in whole, in well, I should say generally, we'll start off what they call the SAL criteria, S-A-L. Mm-hmm. We look for scholars, athletes, and leaders. Mm-hmm. Scholars, somebody that has a decent GPA, does well on the SATs and the ACTs. Mm-hmm. Somebody that's athletically inclined, those guys that played basketball, those guys that played football, the non-couch potato types. And we also look at leaders, you know, people that are in civic groups, people that have led varsity teams, that kind of person. And then from there, we'll go ahead and make sure we'll even do a finer cut. Okay, these are the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we'll bring them in, have a personal bell and see a personal assessment and see which are the best of the best, you know. Right. And we look for, like I said, we look for those guys that seize the opportunity and take an initiative.
Now, at West Point, if one attends West Point, when they graduate, they're commissioned as a
second lieutenant, just like us. There's not a whole lot of difference between an ROTC second lieutenant and a West Point second lieutenant. It just has something to do with the requirement after commissioning. I think the West Point cadets have an 8-year obligation, and then the ROTC cadets have a 6-year obligation. Well, I'm sorry, they both have 8-year obligations,
right.
Excuse me, but the ROTC has 4-year active, 4-year inactive.
Okay.
And as
okay.
opposed to the West Point guys, where they're a little bit
now,
different.
Now, is West Point considered like the Harvard? So they get the nicer assignments?
Or No. I think it's just a different path.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, West Point is tuition-free.
Right, because you have to be nominated by a congressman or something.
You have to be nominated by a congressman. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a more a sterile, Spartan kind of environment. So
right.
it's definitely harder, a harder life. But at the same time, the product's just a little bit different.
Okay.
They're kind of social. They're not as social or personable as an ROTC cadet. So we had a chance to, you know, to relate to contemporaries on a daily basis.
Okay. Interesting enough, when I was a junior, there was an NROTC folks came up here to recruit.
Oh, okay.
And I was intrigued by that. I was so intrigued that I spoke to my mother about it. My mother wasn't crazy about the idea, you know. But do you have an ROTC complement up here, or is that just at another campus?
Well, we do have a Seton Hall does cater to Air Force ROTC. That program is at, I think, at NJIT.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if any Seton Hall cadets want to be Air Force officers, they'll go through that program.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Navy ROTC, I'm not too aware of what's mm-hmm. going on in that arena. But
since you've been here in this particular program, what has been your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement in this program, ROTC just does a lot of great things as mm-hmm. a whole. Personally, I've kind of liked the uncomfortableness of being in academia because it's taught me a lot about myself. So
mm-hmm.
most of my achievements are more personal than professional, obviously. Mm-hmm. Had a chance to go back to school, finish my degree, get more acquainted with my family. Just got back from Afghanistan. So a lot of it's been personal.
Wow.
The program's doing great things, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing panel members from the United States Army War College. They come up here, and we do a partnership with the Whitehead School of Diplomacy. They'll come up here.
Right.
They'll talk. And they'll talk about civil and stability operations, you know, throughout the world, not just, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq-centric, but pretty much all over the world. We've got partnerships with the Stillman School. We're working with the school in its leadership edge. We're trying to get that the leadership accreditation going off the ground. We're helping with that.
So, I'd love to know if I can help in any type of way, really.
Oh, we'd love to have you.
I mean,
we're definitely on the groundwork. It's still kind mm-hmm. of in its infancy, but I'll mm-hmm. definitely point you in the right direction if we use any help we can get right now.
Excellent. And what has been your biggest challenge since you've been here at Seton Hall as a leader?
My biggest challenge is remembering that these cadets are not soldiers. there's been times where cadets have come up to me and say, "Hey, guy," or has an earring in his ear, and just fighting back the temptation to pull that thing out of his lobe. Or, you know, so, I used to be a drill sergeant. So,
oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So I was a drill sergeant back in the day. So I still have the stare, but I definitely don't have the
you know.
The,
I think we should put my student producer, Emma, through a crash course.
I think he's fine. He seems like a pretty personable guy.
They're not in right now.
I try to get to the gym mostly every morning when I don't have an early morning appointment with my business. But it's good to see your guys out there, and they're always very polite. When I'm running around the track, when they're walking off, they actually will stop to look to see if someone's running, and that's a sign of courtesy, mm-hmm. and respect, which I think is outstanding. Now, I know you have some challenges with your cadets, as we were just talking about, mm-hmm. but what are some of the techniques that you use to get them to understand that maybe something that they did wasn't cool or wasn't great, and it wasn't being like a leader? How do you deal with conflict with your cadets, and how do you get them to be more constructive, if you will?
My biggest challenge in doing that is not getting overly involved. Part of being an adaptive cadet or adaptive leader, mm-hmm. is having them figure out anticipate what the end result's going to be,
right.
and try to stop it before it actually happens.
Right.
So we'll go around and we'll do an informal assessment. We'll put a little suggestion in the ear and have them react to that. They're smarter than we give them credit for. And if we just push them in the right direction, mm-hmm. point them in the right direction, a lot of times they'll surprise you. I mean, they're very creative, and it's important to kind of foster that.
When did you first realize in your life, because you've been in the military for a number of years now, your aspiration to be a leader?
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand with being a soldier. Like I said, I've always wanted to be a soldier, and I've always surrounded myself with great people,
mm-hmm.
and in emulation of those great people, I find myself wanting to be a better person and a better leader, and put in that situation to where I'm doing the right thing for the right purpose. And you know, in light of recent events, you know, we're in a war. We definitely want to be better leaders, and we want to be we want to do the right things, and we want to make sure that everybody comes home safely. And so that's really been my driving force to be a better leader.
And who are some of the great people that you can share with us that you really admire of being a great leader?
Well, you know, as a military guy, I've always got an affinity for, you know, those warrior scholar types, Leonidas, you know,
mm-hmm.
the 300. I love General Chamberlain in Gettysburg. He did great things. He was
What were some of the great things that he did?
Well, he was
a lot of folks, they know about Gettysburg, but they really don't know about Gettysburg.
Well, General Chamberlain, he was a regimental commander at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great things he did was he took a regiment to Gettysburg. He was obviously low on numbers. He was low on ammunition, and they were giving him a replacement. But these replacements were people that abandoned their posts. So he pretty much told these guys, listen, I don't have the people to guard you, to secure you. If you want to fight, you're welcome to fight. He inspired them not only to fight, but he was one of the few generals. He was charged with holding the entire Union flank. And when he was down with ammunition, he was pretty much empty on ammunition, he ordered a bayonet charge. That means charge the enemy downhill. And not only did he do that with his regular soldiers, but he also did those with those soldiers that actually, the ones that left their previous unit. So
mm-hmm.
it was pretty miraculous on how he did that. Pretty simple man. He was a teacher by trade, very articulate, and he just inspired them to rise above their circumstances.
A teacher by trade. That's awesome.
Yeah. Another great man, Bruce Lee. Oh, my goodness. I love that guy. People don't really appreciate him, but he's been gone for quite some time now. People are still just in awe of his presence and his, you know, not just his martial ability, but he was a philosopher.
Now you're jumping into my world.
Oh, really?
I was a Bruce Lee fanatic.
Oh, wow.
I've seen anything and everything that he's ever produced. I've read all of his books on Jeet Kune Do.
The Tao of Jeet Kune Do.
I love
that book. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about water and how it's formless, but yet how powerful it can be.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing book.
The philosophy and the Zen.
Oh, yeah. Amazing person. Oprah Winfrey, another person, Eric.
Mm.
You know, kind of contemporary person. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily equate her with being a heroic person, but it, you know, she had every reason to fail, but yet she's one of the most significant people in our planet on our planet today.
Well, when you have someone who can motivate and inspire someone to pick themselves up and to be stronger and to be better, that says a whole lot.
It sure does. And obviously, coming from her experience, people automatically listen.
That's right.
She's been there. She's done that. She's a leader by example.
I just want to write a book and have her promote it for me.
Just instant equity, that's for sure.
That's right.
That's for sure. She's a great person.
So how old were you when you realized that you wanted to be a leader? Or did you just realize, just wake up one day and you were a leader? I mean, you know.
I think it was pretty much I just woke up one day and found myself in the role of a leader.
Right.
I was accountable for people, for my actions,
right,
and their actions, and equipment, and resources. And I just woke up and it was like, well, I'm responsible. So.
And you know, being a leader is a great responsibility. What do you think some of the significant attributes of being a great leader?
Well, I think the biggest thing is being an effective communicator. You got to be able to convey your intent, convey your ideas in an effective way to where they not only grasp it, but they totally can execute it with little supervision. But communication goes beyond leadership. It's a life skill. You need communication to be a great father. You need communication to be a great husband.
I'm still working on that
part. I ain't got to figure it out yet either. So, you know, communicating is obviously, I think, the number one attribute that leaders need to master.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what other aspects of leadership as far as characteristics? Listening, communicating.
Yeah, obviously, Kobe said it best. And I know he's got this 7 effective leadership traits, and one of them is just, well, what is it again? It's understanding first before you're heard. Seek first to understand and then to be understood.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So definitely listening goes hand in hand with the, you know, effectively communicating.
You know, it's interesting. When I first started this program, we're in season 3 now of the leadership program. In the first year, I had the opportunity of interviewing Dr. Benefil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of the most profound interviews that I was able to do. Not that the interviewer was so great, but it's what she said was just so profound. And she talked about how the Quakers, they do leadership without having a chosen leader.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go to a meeting and they'll sit in a room and then someone will start talking about a particular topic.
Hmm.
And discernment is so important to them to truly understand your point of view.
Mm.
Before they give you their opinion or their point of view. And I think as a leader, that's very important.
That's very critical. I mean, a lot of times if you just sit there and listen, you'll have all your you know, the answers to your questions already be answered. So it's important not to be presumptuous. Open-end questions, there's a time and place for closed-ended questions, obviously, too. But open-end questions are definitely the opportunity or the venue for potential leaders to become leaders,
right,
as well.
Right. So. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Master Sergeant Victor Rodriguez, who is a senior military science instructor here at Seton Hall University. And you're going to come back with us next week to continue our discussion?
I look forward to it. We're having a good time.
Thank you. As I said, we're here with Master Sergeant Victor Rodriguez of the ROTC Battalion, Seton Hall University. I am Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership. Remember, leadership begins with you. Have a great weekend.